like to turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. We have a familiar parable, Jesus Christ, in verses 25 through 37. We're going to talk this morning about the three rules of life that people basically live by. We might think of others, but a man is so constituted that rules and regulations and disciplines are necessary in our relationships of life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did is he submitted a rule of life for his disciples in order for them to govern their relationships with other people. So let's read Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. The rule, of course, is to do good to others. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, and leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said to him, he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise." The lawyer, when asking this question, "Who is my neighbor?" he might have been looking for minimal obedience. I'm not sure. To limit the demands of the law by suggesting that some people are my neighbors and others are not. But Jesus was looking for absolute obedience. You know, this road that back then that led from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was about a 17-mile journey, and it was known to harbor many robbers along the way. They basically would hide in the caves and they would attack the victims that they saw, you know, were easy to attack without any problem. And they would, of course, strip them of everything they had. But part of the beauty of the Good Samaritan here is it's the reversal of stereotyping. The priest and the Levites would normally have been what the people who were hearing Jesus, they normally would have been the good guys. The Samaritan, who was somebody who was compromising maybe religious matters ended up being the good guy. The Samaritan knew how to be a neighbor. There's some people in the world today, they claim to be Christians, but they don't know how to be a neighbor. They don't love their neighbor like they should. And there's people who aren't Christians who do love their neighbor as they should. It's easy to see by looking at this verse. There were people thought of as being greatly religious people, but they didn't love their neighbor. And there were people who were seen to, you know, who the Jews didn't have anything to do with, the Samaritans. And yet they showed the proper love. The Samaritan knew how to treat his neighbor. The neighbor was not someone the Samaritan knew. The neighbor was not someone of the same race as the Samaritan. It was just someone who was in need. Oil was used. Oil was used to soothe the wound. Wine was used. I would think that was used to disinfect the wound. The Samaritan paid 2 denarii. That was basically, back then, what it cost to stay in one of these places, from what I found out, was 1/12 of a denarii. And so this would have allowed the person, unless he used money for other things, to stay there for 24 days. But the central issue is not determining who's one neighbor is, but being a good neighbor to who? To every single person you meet. Down through the ages, men have known 3 great rules, each having names of metal, metallic names, and to live by. They live by the iron rule, the silver rule, and the golden rule. And we can apply this text in Luke 10 to see the rules that these people live by. First of all, the iron rule. A lot of people live by this rule. This rule is, might makes right. That's what this rule is about. This is sometimes called the rule of Cain, because he basically was the first to make himself notorious by submitting to its demands. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, after it tells us in Genesis 1 that men have been created in the image of God. All men have been created in the image of God. Now in chapter 4, it tells us here, of course, so the Lord, it says here in verse, well, we might have to read from verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and the offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Again, the rule of Cain, might makes right, the iron rule. It also is first in number. One, if we consider the vast number of individuals who live in accordance with the rule that might makes right. Might makes right is the philosophy that is the basis of all crime. Might makes right is the philosophy of cruelty that has cursed the earth for over 6,000 years. Bloody tyrants of antiquity, such as Alexander the Great, Hannibal, Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, and today we have people like that too. All specimens of ambitious men hungry for personal greatness, for power, and for wealth. They live by this rule, and so did the thieves in Luke 10, verse 30. Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and what did the thieves do? They stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead, because they lived by the philosophy, might makes right." They were selfish, and they had no thought of the welfare of others. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, because there is no satisfaction, I want to say, or happiness in living by the iron rule. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, or all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." What is the philosophy of the iron rule? What is the philosophy of might makes right? Again, part of it is the love of money. Let's look at but the Word of God, instead of saying we should love money, it says in 1 Timothy 6 in verses 16 and 17, as Paul there is writing to Timothy, and he pens these words. He says here, and I'm in the wrong place, hold on. 1 Timothy 6. Okay, verse 17, I'm sorry. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in a living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." And again, this philosophy of might makes right is the selfish one of money. But the Word of God says in Ephesians 4:28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Their philosophy, unbridled lust. But 1 John 2:15 through 17, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Another philosophy of the iron rule: "Thine is mine, therefore I will take it." So what is yours is mine, and therefore I'm going to take it. But the Bible says, let's look at Romans 13, verses 9 and 10. And it tells us here in Romans 13, 9 and 10. I'm having trouble with the numbers. I think I'm going to need reading glasses soon. But in Romans 9, in Romans 13, 9 and 10, we'll go back to verse 8. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." But that's not how these people live. "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this one saying, namely, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to the neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law." Again, many people will suffer. The Bible tells us we shouldn't suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in this behalf. But the final reward for those who live by the iron rule will not be heaven. And so if they are living by that rule, they need to change. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke 12, verse number 33. In Luke 12, verse 33, it tells us, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In contrast to the iron rule of hoarding of possessions, the disciple must be generous with what God gives. Money bags which do not, it tells us here, grow old. By serving God and others, you can have eternal riches. You cannot take your possessions with you in the next life, but you can store up eternal treasure by giving to God. The final reward, if you continue to live by the iron rule, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so again, we should not live by the iron rule if we are Christians. And then there's the silver rule. That's basically, do no harm. It doesn't matter what's happening, just do no harm to others. The priest and the Levite, they live by this rule. But let's look at Luke 10, 31 and 32. And it says here, now by chance a certain priest came down the road. This is this a religious man. Maybe he's going to religious service here. And when he saw him, what does he do? Does he do anything for this man? He passes by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, the priestly tribe, when he arrived at the place, came and looked. He observed what was going on. He saw it and passed by on the other side. The rule apparently of Confucius, do nothing to others that you would not have done to you. It is an improvement over the iron rule, might makes right. However, it is a negative rule. It's a do nothing. That's what it is. The silver rule is a do nothing rule, which forbids much but does nothing to help anyone. It does not demand anything. This rule will not allow you to set a torch to a man's house, but it does not demand that you help put out a fire that you see or do anything to help. The rule is basically, let the sufferer suffer, let the perishing die, and you never violate a syllable of the silver rule. And the priest and the Levite, this is the rule these religious people lived by. They were followers of this rule. They passed by on the other side of the road, the bleeding man, they passed him by. The injured man, they passed him by. They might have excused themselves by saying, well, we did not hurt. We didn't do anything to hurt him. We did not hurt this helpless man. What is the silver rule's philosophy then? The silver rule's philosophy is, mine is mine. Mine is mine. And I will keep it. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion, Amos 6:1. Let's see what God's word exhorts us to do. Jesus teaching us, Matthew 25th chapter, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory, all nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And they will also answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in sick or in prison? I did not minister to you. And he said to them, as surely I say to you, as much as you did not do it to one of these, the least, you did not do it to one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting destruction, but the righteous into eternal life. That's Jesus speaking. He's telling us about one of the ways in which we will be judged. The silver rules philosophy, we're too busy, we're too selfish. But the Word of God says, what does it profit? Let's look at James. James, the second chapter. What does it profit us if we tell somebody to be warmed and to be filled? James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 17. And it tells us here, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The silver philosophy, neglected opportunities. But again, the Word of God, which we will be judged by, says in Hebrews 2:2-3, for if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed again to us by those who heard him? Galatians, the sixth chapter, as Paul is writing to the brethren at Galatia, Galatians, the sixth chapter, and verses 7 through 10. And he tells them, that's embarrassing. It says here, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then it says here, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. We're supposed to be doing good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. find a rewarder for those who continue to live by the silver rule and do not change. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And sin separates us from God. So we can't continue to live by the silver rule. And then there's another rule, not the iron rule or the silver rule. There's the golden rule, to do unto others. And it tells us, let's look at what the Samaritan did again. It's the rule the Samaritan lived by. In verses 33 through 35, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. This is really the rule of Christ, pure rule of life, the bright side of the story. This rule brings utmost happiness now, and it also brings an eternal reward that will never pass away. When we can look at every person on this earth as our neighbor, and we are willing to do good to them, that is where true happiness can be found. The golden rule philosophy, mine is thine. What I have is yours if you need it. That's the philosophy we should live by. What I have is yours if you need it. Love your fellow man. Don't, in Hebrews 13:2 it says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Galatians 6:10 again, therefore as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Ephesians 5:6, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So I'm saying we should do this right now. We need to realize that what we have belongs to others. Luke 10, verse 37, Jesus said this. He said, he who showed, the lawyer answered, he who showed mercy on him, and Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. In Acts, the 10th chapter, as Paul is telling Cornelius and his household about Jesus Christ, Acts the 10th chapter, verse number 38. Acts 10 and verse 38, this is what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then it says this about Jesus, who went about doing good. It also says, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We might not be able to do that except teach people the word. But he went about doing good and healing, again, all oppressed by the devil. But we need to go about doing good. And the final reward for those who live by that principle, by the golden rule, but what is mine is thine if you need it. Who live by that principle, that's what Jesus said. He gave us his life. He died for us so that we might live. And 1 Corinthians 15, if we labor in the Lord and we do good to all people, and we love all people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. This is what Paul says about laboring in the Lord. He says our labor is not in vain. He says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we need to get rid of, if we have the iron rule, get rid of it. Might does not make right. And what about the silver rule? We need to get rid of that rule. mine is mine. That's a lousy rule. But we need to spurn all of these rules, but the golden rule. This is simple Christianity. And if we come short of it, we come short of the requirements and the demands of the religion that we profess. If we profess to follow Christ, we will live by the golden rule. Who is my neighbor? Remember, we realize everyone is my neighbor. As it tells us in Acts the 17th chapter. Acts the 17th chapter. You know, in Acts 17, when Paul was preaching to those at Athens, the people of Athens were like the Jews. The Greeks back then, they thought they were the superior people. The Jews thought the same way. But Paul is saying to them in Acts 17, when he talks to them about the unknown God, therefore to the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our very being. Again, do good unto all people, especially those of the house of the faith, and live your lives by the golden rule and not by one of the rules that are contrary to the character of Christ. At this time, if anybody does have a need to come forward, they may...